You're listening to sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. For more information about Liberty or to donate to this ministry, you can visit us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
So here we are. We're in the book of Nehemiah. Let me just, this man is a cupbearer. I want to just tell you tonight, I love Nehemiah. Nehemiah is, in the Old Testament, he's the closest thing to me. He is the closest thing to what we are. Nehemiah never one time saw an angel. Nehemiah never one time did what we would consider like a miracle, as in like healing somebody or causing rain to fall, or like he never did anything like that. He was just a guy like you and like me. But we love him because he was instrumental in, on the one hand, rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem and doing that great work. On the other hand, he also led a great revival afterwards in which the people just recommitted themselves to serving God. And a lot of that was through Nehemiah's guidance. And at the same time, on that overall thing, he also became the governor. And he was a very, very strong governor for leading them back to God, back to the Bible, back to the law. And so just an amazing man. But this gentleman, I want you to just reacquaint yourself with him for just a second. This man had never been to Bible college or Bible school. He never been to an institute. This man was a guy just like most of the men in this room right here. This is a man who had a profession. He was the king's cupbearer. I don't know how he got to be the king's cupbearer. I don't know if there's a cupbearer school. I don't know if you went through a cupbearer, where they kind of bring all the different cupbearers in the world and bring them and find the best one. I don't know how he got to be the king's cupbearer, but he was the king's cupbearer. That was his job. This king's cupbearer, he was not in a spiritual environment on a regular basis. Those of us, here at Liberty, those on staff get to be around a place where you're not going to hear cussing, at least much, unless the pastor's really mad or something, but by and large, but whereas this is a man who was in an environment, basically we'd say an unsaved environment. His boss was unsaved and those around him would be unsaved. But this man was living the normal life that most of us are going to live. This man was a professional who was very, very busy. He was a man who you would imagine if there's one guy who would just simply go to church, sit there, do the church thing and feel like, okay, I've done my part, it would have been this guy. This guy was never a warrior. He was not this like David or somebody who, Samson singing. He was just, I don't know what you would picture, but I for some reason in my mind, the Bible doesn't support this, but in my mind, I picture kind of a middle-aged balding guy who's kind of fat. I just do. I don't know why. I don't know if you do or not, but that's what kind of my mind. He was not a prophet. He never became a prophet, but he loved the Bible. This is a man who never became a priest, but he worshiped and also he submitted to spiritual leaders. If you read through this. Now, this is a man who never saw a vision, never dreamed any dreams, never saw an angel, but this man, he did great things for God. Now, I'm just going to, just tonight, I just want to point out one thing about this man, and I want you to take it home with you tonight. This man was Nehemiah, he had a walk with God. And if there's one thing that I would just beg of you to do as people in church, it's not the pastor's job to walk with God. It's not the staff's job to walk with God. It's every single one of us. We all have a duty to walk with God. And I'm going to just show you, when I talk about the walk, we could look at the whole thing. But tonight, for the sake of time, we're going to look at one aspect of it, and that is this. When he finds out in chapter 1 that the walls are burned with fire and it's really, really, the economy is sunk, it's really bad. If you look right now in verse number 4, the first thing he does is he goes and fasts and he prays before God. In verse 5, it tells you his prayer. Verse 6 is his prayer. Verse 7 is his prayer. Verse 8 is his prayer. Verse 9 is his prayer. Verse 10 is his prayer. Verse 11 is his prayer. He just prays. He goes straight to prayer. And this man spent time with God. The first thing is go to prayer. Now, we won't analyze this prayer, but you could, and it would be a blessing to you. Now, look at chapter 2 and verse number 4. So, you know the story. He goes to work the next day, and you know how it is. He's not allowed to show anything but happy face, and there's good reasons for that. When you go to a restaurant around here, we are not exactly emperors, but when we sit down on that table, we would probably not be real thrilled if the waitress came over and was like, what do you want? You know, it just, we expect her, it doesn't matter how much, her and her husband just had an argument at home, you know, the bills are due, and that's why she's taking this part-time job as a waitress at night, and there you are coming in, hey, what can I get you tonight for drink? And she's got to put that face on. Now, imagine if this is not just you, the customer, imagine this is the emperor. And so it's even more important that, I mean, this, there's no excuse for Nehemiah to come in with anything other than a, how you doing, king? But in this moment, the king who knows Nehemiah perceives there's something on his heart. And he says, what's going on? And then he says, you're, there's something not right. And then he gets the verse into verse 2. Then was I very sore afraid. In verse number 3, the king then asks him, in verse number 3, then he explains to him, he just honest tells him what happened. Look at verse number 4. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So this, I mean, he had no idea that he was going to be faced with like this monumental decision in his life. He didn't wake up that morning saying, let me see, if the king asked me what I want to do, what am I going to say to him? There's none of that. Suddenly, he was not intending to even discuss with the king. That was not even on the agenda. But suddenly, the topic comes up, and the king all of a sudden says, okay, what do you want? Now, his very first response is a response that if you are a professional, if you own a business, or you work in a business, or you're working in the school over here, or you're in the church office, it doesn't matter who you are, this is the response of a godly man. Understand, we're not talking about super Christian here. We're talking about the normal, just got a job. But this man had a walk with God. And so when this happens, in verse number 4, it says, so I prayed to the Lord, to the God of heaven. So let me explain to you again. The king says, so what do you want? And Nehemiah says, give me 5 minutes. Dear God, what should I do? No, that's not what happens. He doesn't have him at that time. You know what happens? I don't know if you. I hope you've been here. I hope this is where you're at on a regular basis. What he is doing is he is standing there looking at a king, and the king says, "What do you want?" And literally, this is really what happens. This is what happens. So I pray to the God of heaven. Goes like this: Lord, help me know what to do right now. Right inside of the line, God, help me to know. I don't have no idea what. Lord, please, I'm gonna do this. Lord, please, like that. But I mean, no lip movement, totally inside. But that was his very first response. It wasn't, so I went to thinking about it. No, he immediately, first response, pray. The equivalent of this, when you're talking about the customers there and you're talking about, so what are you going to charge for this service? Whoa, okay, I could lose this customer right here. Lord, help me know what to say. Lord, help me know what to say. He has a constant walk with God. I'll show you a couple more things and we'll just wrap it up here. Look at verse chapter number 4 and look at verse number 4. This is really, I think, is awesome. This happens a couple times. We'll just look at this one time. I love this. The couple guys, Sambalot and Tobiah, they're giving him trouble, and he explains the trouble to the readers here in verse number 3. And I'll start verse number 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they built, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. And then the story continues on in verse 6, so built we the wall. But you know what happens between verse 4 and verse 4 and verse 5? Did you notice it? He says, hear, O our God. And wait a minute, is he praying right now or writing the narrative of this? What happens is that this man has a walk with God. So as he's just going along, it's just natural for him to transition from the narrative into praying. And he just suddenly just goes, oh, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn around. He just, that's what he does. This man, Nehemiah, he's so used to praying. It just, first response is prayer. First response is to walk with God. First response is to take it to him. They literally, when he's going throughout his day here, he is taking everything to God and doing it with God, and that's just naturally how it goes. This is a man of God. Not a pastor, but a man of God. Not a priest, but a man of God. Not a prophet, but a man of God. And if you have a job, you ought to be a man of God. If there ought to be ladies here who walk with God every day, no matter what your job is. No, I don't work at the church. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You ought to have a walk with God. This is what the goal is for every single person on staff, is to try to create in us this kind of Christian. Salvation is just that very first step to creating a church of people who on a regular basis, just constantly, this is what we do. We walk with God constantly. One more verse, and we'll stop here. Look at chapter 5, the last verse here, chapter 5, verse 19. I just love this, how verse 18, it's just kind of, you know, things are going wrong. It says, now that which was prepared for me daily, the one ox, talks about all the food he's got here, and it says, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. And look at this. He goes right into prayer. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. He just lists what he's doing for them. And after finishing it, he gets his validation for who he is. He kind of takes this all to God and says, can you please help me? Look at all the stuff I'm doing. He goes to God to let me explain. Most of us men, we need that from our wives. And usually we get it. Sometimes we don't. We need to walk in and we need her to say, wow, you're a great provider. We need that. Kids need that from their daddies, don't they? Kids need to have it when they make the good shot. Just, wow, and they look at the dad, you know, and they run down, you know, and then, yeah, well done, yeah, yeah. Nehemiah gets that from God. He doesn't get that from his pastor. He goes to God for it. He doesn't get that from the other people in the church. He goes to God for that. This is a man who is doing a great work. Now, what is this work he's doing? Let me tell you. He considers this work, you can look at chapter 2, verse 12. He considers this work given to him by God. But this is not a spiritual work. It's a very physical wall. He saw the physical labor that he was providing, a service to the people of Jerusalem, as a spiritual work given to him by God. And when you step out into your office tomorrow morning, and you get in your car and you head out to the office tomorrow morning, it ought to be, this is God's work in my life, as unto the Lord. And it ought to be when you're in your car, Lord, please no traffic today. Lord, please clear up the traffic. Lord, help me not get in that wreck today. It's raining. Lord, please bless my wife. Lord, she's about to get to wherever she... That ought to be the way it is every single day. That's what we're trying to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance we've had to be together tonight. And thank you that now that we've just talked about this, now I can bow my head, and in an instant, I can be communicating with the great God of heaven who formed all things. And I thank you that for whatever reason, you have chosen to communicate with man. Thank you that Nehemiah believed and he knew that when he opened his mouth, he'd be talking with the Almighty. And thank you that right now we can do the same thing. We thank you that when we go about our daily work, we can do it with your power and with you in us, working through us. I pray that you please continue to let this church be a place where individuals on their own have a sweet, close walk with you. Please continue that on this work in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?
Thank you so much for the miracle. What a great challenge to all of us. We don't need to be super Christians. We're just normal people that are doing whatever God's called us to. But we ought to be, and pulled out, and I'm sure there was much more he would have liked to have pulled out from Nehemiah there. Just a cupbearer for the king, but his first response was prayer. And a great thought there, his physical work was a spiritual work. Sometimes, if we're not careful, you know, we'll talk about, even with teenagers, well, are you going to go into full-time Christian service, or meaning vocational ministry, or are you going to go, you know, run your own career? We are all called, doesn't matter whether you get paid by a church or not, we're all called to be full-time Christians. And that's what he's saying here, your physical work, well, that's the work I do for the world, and this is the work I do for God. No, everything we do is as unto the Lord. And a great reminder, I heard one pastor say it this way, practice the presence of Christ. I don't understand what he meant when he said that. You ought to practice the presence of Christ. But what he said was, act as though he's right there. When you're driving, he's in the passenger seat. When you're walking, he's standing. And he's practice that he's all, because the truth is, he is. The Holy Spirit's always with us. We ought to, and when we think about it that way, we practice the presence of Christ.
Thanks for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more helpful Bible teaching, or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.